When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Same as it ever was, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Manchester United beat Manchester City. Everton were gubbed at Stamford Bridge. And Newcastle United scored a goal. Do you get that Monday feeling, ladies and gentlemen, when the Football Ramblers walk your way?
Yeah, I get it every week.
Mm-hmm. That's Luke Moore, that's Pete Donaldson, and Jim Campbell's under there.
Hello. I'm positively giddy today, and I don't know why.
Well, mm-hmm. I've been hanging out with my aunt.
Yeah. Sorry?
Marks' aunt. Come on.
Contagious.
We take her home like the school hamster.
Yeah. Mm. Is it one particular aunt, or is it like a lot of different aunts?
I only have one aunt.
Is she giddy?
Not really, no.
Shame.
It's just more that expression that I use a lot.
Do I have an aunt?
A peek behind the curtain. Mm. Do I have an aunt?
I do.
Do you know what an aunt is? It's your mum or your dad's sister.
Yeah. One of them I've met once, and the other one is a half aunt. What's a half aunt? Aunt once removed.
Not sure.
I don't know.
A haunt.
A haunt.
A haunt in Waterlooville.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. It's a football podcast.
It is a football podcast.
Occasionally.
But we don't mind talking about family as well, which is very, very important, ladies and gentlemen.
Because our listeners are like a family, aren't they, Mike?
They're very much like a family.
Many of them will have aunts. Yeah. Some might even be aunts.
So, annoying little bellends running around at an event.
And the event being Reddit.
Seriously, fuck you guys. Yeah.
Well, Manchester is Reddit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Good, mate.
Thank you. Because they beat Manchester City in that Manc derby, didn't they? Old Trafford was a rocking and a pumping.
It was rocking. It was pumping. The rocking and the pumping. Yep. A rocking, a pumping, a peedy, peedy, peedy.
People often say it was rocking, whereas you, Luke Moore, always say if a stadium atmosphere is electric, it's pumping.
It's pumping, yeah. Edison's face was Reddit. After his two mistakes.
Yeah.
But it was pumping. And I think that will be of great comfort and will warm the cockles of Manchester United fans everywhere. Great win for them.
He even warmed Roy Keane's cockles.
I didn't like that.
It's weird, isn't it?
Nah. His cockles were particularly warm all day. I'm sure we'll come on to that later.
It's like seeing Vince Vaughn do a serious role.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit.
Yeah. Do not like.
I don't want it.
Yeah.
I'm not here for it.
That's how enjoyable it was for those Red Devils, eh?
Yeah, I mean, they've crept into some really good form, haven't they? In the last 10 games, they've won 7, drawn 3, scored 24 goals and conceded 2.
Look at those stats.
Fair play to Solskjaer. Like, he's doing the business.
Is it fair to say Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's doing an all right job?
And it was also a year to the, I'm pretty sure, year to the week since that famous result Solskjaer had against PSG in the Champions League, which essentially got him the job. So
maybe
he's still there. They're still finding.
Well, there's been a hint of spring in the air the last couple of days, isn't it? Maybe it's that.
The very probably not in Manchester.
Spring in the step in the Manchester City goalkeeping fraternity.
Edison looked absolutely imperious when he kind of first joined Man City that season. And obviously he's a superb goalkeeper. Don't be silly, or just on one performance and all.
It's rare that a keeper of his quality and stature in the game has a stinker from start to finish.
But he's that good, isn't he? I mean, only Alisson, if Alisson was any other nationality, Edison would obviously be starting for Brazil, and he keeps him out the side. But it was strange to see Edison look a bit fallible. And Manchester City have looked fallible this season. I mean, they've lost more games than Arsenal in the Premier League this season, which is a hell of a stat. I mean, they've drawn 10 fewer games than Arsenal as well. We should make that very, very clear. But Manchester United, though, they're up to fifth. They're just 3 points behind Chelsea now. And, I mean, they were good. Manchester City dominated possession, as they will. But Manchester United didn't look that uncomfortable without possession, if you see what I mean. Because everybody knows Man City are going to dominate the ball. And Manchester United were very, very good. And Martial, even though his decision-making might have been a touch better at times, and his goal was a bit fortuitous, but it's still a well-taken one.
Oh, and but that was all about Fernandes, wasn't it?
Fernandes has transformed that side, you would say. He's putting in so many balls. He's giving so many opportunities. But Martial, like, he came with a big price tag a long time ago now, admittedly. How old is he, 24 now?
It does seem and a while ago, that transfer saga with Martial.
And so he needs to turn in 16. I think he's scored 16 goals this season. He needs to sort of keep that up every single season for whoever he plays for. He might move on, he might not. Man United might put their hand in their pockets and spend ridiculous on something ridiculous. But I think he's coming at the side and he's really performing.
But Solskjaer likes that kind of unorthodox striker or
wingery
sort of
striker.
Yeah, wingery striker. Because it was sort of him and Daniel James up top and Bruno Fernandes in behind.
You're not going to get a lot of running out of Martial. He looks quite lethargic at times, but...
When he goes,
I think he conserves his energy very well. He does what Thierry Henry used to do.
That was
really
my excuse when I played football.
Bruno Fernandes coming into the side, I mean, seldom do you get a player who lifts everybody that much. I mean, we know his quality. Mm. And let's be honest, a bit surprised that he went there, actually. One could have thought he would go to one of the really, really sort of top sides in terms of form and stature. On the continent, but
he could have gone where he wanted, right?
But he's given them such a lift. I mean, it is quite incredible. But the whole midfield looks better now. I mean, they played a sort of a 3-4-1-2 Manchester United, with Wan-Bissaka and Williams either side of Matic and Fred. But the whole thing just looked
like a cohesive unit, didn't
it? It did.
Even as you say, with the allowance of City having the majority of the ball. I mean, in the first stages, I think Man United had 30% possession. Obviously, they picked up after that. But
no, mate, it was 27%.
Wow.
Overall, I don't know the fact, but it will be interesting to know they've ever had fewer than that in a Manchester derby
at home as well.
Less than that, sorry, not fewer than that. At home as well. And I think, but the thing is, they're set up for that, aren't they? But they've got this. They've got players like James, who is really raw but really quick. And they've got Martial, who's on his day is quite ruthless. I mean, he's going to have his best goal scoring season for Man United this season, almost certainly. I think he's got 16, as Pete said. I think he had 17 in his first season, so he'll probably go on to beat that. And they look comfortable without the ball. Fred's form has been really great. He's really important to them. Fernandes, he just hit the ground running. It's like it looks with Fernandes like all he's done. He's just changed the colour of his shirt.
Yep.
When we saw him playing at Sporting, he's directing the traffic, he's calling the shots, he's doing his thing, and he's settled straight into Man United. He's one of the biggest clubs in the world, and he's doing that straight away, which is an amazing testament to him. And the good thing about United in this game against City is they just didn't seem to panic.
No.
They didn't seem to get overly tired because they didn't have the ball, and it obviously makes you more tired when you haven't got the ball. And they didn't seem to worry too much about Man City's weapons, and they were just able to be ruthless when City made the mistakes, which Edison made two of. Which I mean, it's worth saying, by the way, the game was in the balance a lot more than the scoreline makes it look, because obviously McTominay scored very, very late, almost the last kick of the game from a mistake.
And the move for Aguero's disallowed goal, which was only marginally offside, was a fantastic bit of play. Absolutely, but that did suggest that actually maybe it wouldn't be.
Well, Fred should have had a penalty.
I completely agree with that.
Mike Dean do monitors.
No, he does not. He's got a monitor in his head. So
I'm monitoring you all right now with my eyes.
I'd like Dino to you know, if he's made a decision, everyone's going, no, check. He just rips out the earpiece and goes, I've made my decision. I don't give a damn what VAR saying.
I don't care what reality says. Yes. And if Mike knows best.
If those pencil pushers down at City Hall don't like it, they can have my whistle.
I've got a photographic memory, mate.
But Fred had a good performance again, and there's been a lot of talk of that, to the point where Sky Sports had an article titled Fred's Redemption. It's like, Fred's Red Redemption.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Yeah. Just Fredemption. Yeah. If anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Either. Yeah. Just not what you settled on. Fred Dead Redemption DLC.
Yeah. Yeah, one of those.
Content for the video game. Did Red Dead Redemption. Yeah.
Did you like to tell us more about that?
No.
Okay.
that's a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame.
Wan Bissaka was good, though, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Making a late surge for the Euros.
You think?
Well, he's trying to.
It'd be fair. Why wouldn't he be?
Yeah.
You'd have him in your squad, wouldn't you?
It's a tricky one. I mean, Alexander Arnold will be the starting.
I just want a little rest. So I'll set you off and I'll see you in a minute.
there's about a handful of things that you could do that with.
He's preparing a statement for his Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Volkfass.
Yeah. Let's try and work out what we're doing next.
Been giving him dogs abuse all season.
I think Wan-Bissaka, he might just miss out. In terms of experience, Trippier would have more experience in tournaments and so on.
You would think Alexander-Arnold is nailed on.
Well, absolutely, yeah. I'm saying who's the backup to him.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously Walker in there as well. Who knows? But yeah, I feel like... do you feel like this game seemed to matter a bit more to Man United? Because there's so little thrust to City's season now.
I think it matters for... I know. I'm
not saying it doesn't matter for Man City.
Well, no, of course. I get what you're saying, because Manchester United is trying to finish in the top four. Mm. And if they don't finish fourth, they want to finish fifth, obviously. Whereas Manchester City will finish second or third.
Yeah, and it also doesn't really matter because situation.
They will finish second, surely. Because Leicester have sort of dropped off, even though obviously Tom Corden haven't played Aston Villa. But Manchester United, though, we're talking about their top four ambitions. I mean, they're 3 points behind Chelsea. And if you look at their fixtures left, their toughest fixtures are away to Spurs next. Well, the way they're playing, you'd fancy to get something out of that. And then they're away to Leicester on the last day as well. So
at which point it might be academic anyway.
Well, yeah, so you have to look at that. And if bloody hell, if they can finish fourth,
yeah,
they'll probably have money to spend in the summer. You never know.
Paul Pogba should be back in training next week as well. It'll be interesting to see if him and Fernandes...
How that derails everything.
I was about to say, will that give him another...
Yeah, life? I don't know. I was kind of putting that to the table.
He won't be, will he?
I'll defer.
I'll be
you think he won't play again?
No.
I'll defer to Graham Souness on that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you will. I've heard that. I mean, I'm not trying to make it. I've got any particular insight that no one else has got. But I've heard that about five times since he was injured. And he's not come back.
He's making sure that they sell him in the summer.
Feels like
quite
that.
Obviously. I mean,
Andre Gomes is back.
Yeah, exactly.
His foot was hanging off 3 months ago.
Yeah, exactly. It's unbelievable.
But if you're willing to sort of like sideline a player like Paul Pogba, like, would you just not...
No, I don't think they're willing. I think his agent is trying to push through
a deal, but the deal is going to be a lot cheaper than it was because he's just not played that much football. He's been so-called injured. He's clearly not having a great time at Manchester United. He's clearly a very talented footballer, but has he put in the performances for Manchester United in every single match? I would say no. So
very true.
Is someone going to get a bargain Paul Pogba is what I'm asking.
I don't think they will because Manchester United will still say, I don't care if he's not, we don't care if he's not played. He's a World Cup winner, he's Paul Pogba, pay the money, damn you.
He's a pulled fraud.
But
don't need Solskjaer's in a position of strength now. Yeah. Despite the criticism he's got on this show, chiefly from me probably, he's in a position of strength.
What do you think of Solskjaer then? Because we have been critical and we've said, well, we just don't see him turning it around. And just because they've beat Man City doesn't mean to say they have turned it around.
No, but I think if you look at that run that they're on that we spoke about earlier, I think there is an argument that he has certainly turned it in the right direction. I mean, they could it's realistic for them to finish in a Champions League position this season now.
It is. I wonder, though, what Manchester United fans will think, because if he does finish fourth, then there's a bigger chance that he will stay in the summer. People were probably thinking he would go. And then when you hear the likes of, what's his name, Allegri, and those kind of names being batted around the Manchester United job, or even Pochettino, if you're a Manchester United fan, you think, well, okay, Solskjaer, there's been a little bit of an improvement.
Yeah.
But when those names are being mentioned, and you're thinking to yourself, look, will it really come good? Will Solskjaer win a title, or at least challenge for a title at Manchester United?
Well, I think the complication with that is...
I'm not sure that they will... Well, obviously they'll want to finish as hard as possible, but will it be kind of, in the long term, more of a curse than a blessing?
Look, a lot of this comes down to Ed Woodward's reputation, doesn't it? Because he doesn't want to be seen to be changing managers all the time. It'd be quite embarrassing for him to lose Solskjaer, especially if he then gets them into a good position after people have been calling for his head before that. Mm-hmm. So Man United, to their credit, have always stood by Solskjaer and made it very clear that he is in their long-term plans. And this is that playing out. So... I would be surprised if they made a change if he got what was considered to be an acceptable finish to the season, which I think Champions League football would be.
Very much so.
Yeah. Well, finish fifth and get in thanks to Man City's, Man City's grounds.
clearly, they're in a good run of form. I don't know what Solskjaer's ceiling is as a manager. I don't know how good he can become as a coach because he's not shown anything in the past that says he can be... Can compete. I mean, in that 10-game streak that since they last lost, which is the game they lost at home to Burnley, You know, beat Man City at the weekend, fine, good result. They've not really done an awful lot outside of that, but they beat Chelsea away, and Chelsea, you never really know what you're going to get with them. So we have to wait and see. But what Man United fans should be judging a Man United side on, for example, if they get to the semi-finals of the Europa League and they play someone good, right? Can they get through that? Can they? If they can do that, then surely he's doing a lot more to burnish his reputation in those kind of games as he is in what is a, you know, quite a weird Premier League season. But you can't criticise a guy. I mean, they're winning games. They haven't lost since the middle of January. So, I mean, good on them.
All right, let's move on to Liverpool then. They beat Bournemouth 2-1. It wasn't brilliant from Liverpool, but they got that win. They got the win. It was a record-breaking win, of course. 22nd consecutive home victory in the top flight.
Breaking the Shankly record, was
it? Extremely impressive. No, I think it was an overall record, wasn't it? Because they were looking at other teams that, you know, these records, you know, from yesteryear and so on, which hence it was a top flight record, of course.
Every record is from yesteryear technically, though, isn't it?
Absolutely right, Luke. Yeah. Absolutely right.
I'm not taking on any of those future records. That seems very hard.
Yeah, you're too unpredictable.
Who's the guy who did that gag where he's like, here's a picture of
Mitch Hedberg.
Here's a picture of me from when I was younger. It's like every picture is a picture of you when you're
younger. Yeah. And then he says, no, here's a picture of me when I'm older. Let me see that camera.
Good old Mitch.
Yeah.
Mo Salah has 70 goals in 100 Premier League matches for Liverpool. Decent.
That as well is a record, isn't it?
But every player for a Liverpool record.
Yeah, that's for the club. I'm sure I read, I might have got this wrong, but I'm sure that I read that with that game against Bournemouth, they broke some kind of Bill Shankly Liverpool held record as well.
Did they really?
But they ground out. When they went a goal behind, I wonder how nervous they were. Yeah. People were going to be watching it.
Yeah. So they needed a win. I mean, I know it sounds daft for Liverpool, who are 150 points ahead of Manchester City or whatever, but they had that little spell, even though they only lost, I mean, 1-0 away to Atletico Madrid. You know, that can happen. And obviously the Watford game was a bit of a surprise, but they did go 1-0 down. It was a contentious one. And they managed to turn it around.
On the train home from the Watford Liverpool match, I was explaining to a young boy who was beside himself with sadness that Liverpool had lost their unbeaten record. And I was going, look, Newcastle lost 12 points. They were ahead.
It's not relevant to him, is it? How old was he?
Oh, yeah, he was like 7.
Yeah, he's they don't want to hear that, does he?
Yeah, he did, certainly not from a drunk man on a train.
No.
His mother was eyeing me suspiciously.
Some kind of drunk steampunk with an undercut in today's coronavirus world.
Listen, son. Yeah. Everything's going to be fine. You're going to win the league with flying colours.
What else did you say to him?
Mum, what's that accent?
You were Geordie.
He had a Cockney accent, so.
Yeah. You were Geordie, mate. Is that what he said? But the moment of many people's weekend was that James Milner clearance off the line.
Great stuff.
Wow. Right. I mean,
put a cape on him and be done with it.
Even for a clearance, I don't think I've ever seen such a sweetly struck clearance. Yeah. You've got such good contact.
Like, very few people get to it. Very few people wouldn't have hoofed it into their own net. It was great. I just had everything. Lovely.
Yeah, because when the ball is looped over and you, even if you pause it at that moment, you think, well, he's not going to get that.
Yeah.
He bloody is, though. Yeah. And he did.
Whipples. It was good.
Get him in the Euros.
He doesn't want it. If we can't have Vardy, have Milner up front.
If you carry on like this, we're going to have a better team that aren't going to go.
I know.
Bex, call, bring him back.
I would rather play Milner and Vardy on their own than any of our team.
why are you naming retired players, Peter?
Milner can defend on his own.
Is
Milner
internationally retired?
Yeah. No, you said Bex and Cole.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
So I'm saying bring him back. So they're also internationally / completely retired.
All right. Chrissy Waddle.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Not with that haircut.
No,
with that haircut.
Yeah, that makes it more likely.
Relevant. Yeah. It's there. Crying out loud. Liverpool, of course, are the very, very nearly champions. They already are, really.
I mean, there is a scenario where if Man City lose to Arsenal, which they won't, and to Burnley, which they also won't, then Liverpool would be champions without kicking another ball.
Yeah, because Man City have got some games to play before Liverpool play again, right? Mm. Technically, Liverpool need to win 3 more games.
Yeah.
Assuming that Man City do their thing.
Indeed, yeah. But, I mean, chat aside, you know, Bournemouth actually probably be a touch disappointed that they didn't get something out of the game, which seemed sort of very unlikely a few weeks ago. But their errors cost them. And the last thing you need at Anfield, you know, Liverpool aren't firing on all cylinders. They've probably got an eye on that game against Atletico Madrid as well this week, which they need to win, of course. And
Bournemouth, just drop the first goal. You think to yourself, just get rid.
Although that said, though, I mean, the standards Liverpool have set is so high that before Salah scores, that ball that's played into him is behind him, and it's a really difficult one to take when you've got men on you, which he had, and he still just slotted away like it was a tap-in. Mm-hmm. Like there was still a lot to do.
Of course there was, yeah. But the fact is that the error let them in, and then the second goal as well. Someone's caught out in midfield, and you know Mane's away and makes it 2-1. But even then, Bournemouth still had their moments. You know, Adrian was called into action as well. So it's strange that Liverpool still haven't got out of this little slump just yet, but a European tie at Anfield, which is a must-win game, is probably just the tonic.
Well, yeah, I mean, digging one out is probably ideal against when you've got Atletico coming up, isn't it? Because you know it's going to have to be, they're going to just take it down to the trenches.
They are, but they can be quite disappointing, Atletico, when they get that lead. We saw that against Juventus when they won 2-0 at home, and then they go away, and I think, was it Ronaldo? Well, he's definitely scored. I can't remember if it was a hat-trick or that might have been... I'm thinking maybe of a different time, actually. But they won 3-0. And you think to yourself, like, they showed very, very little attacking intent. And to protect just that one goal lead at Anfield, the way Liverpool tend to be in those ties, I would think that would be too much of an ask for Atletico.
David Cartledge on the Continent said a week or two ago, he said, I hope I'm not putting words in his mouth, but I remember him, I think, saying that that performance from Atletico against Liverpool was their best performance this season.
Oh, yeah.
Miles. They've had a lot of injury problems and not the Simeone team that a lot of people don't watch them very often think they are in terms of their standard, in terms of their two Champions League finals and league title winning standard. But they can still raise it. They can almost do like a greatest hits album every so often.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if they do it on Anfield this week, they'll be through. But a question I had in mind to ask you guys, interested in your thoughts on this. What if Liverpool go out of the Champions League and they kind of limp to...
They can concentrate on the Prem then.
Yeah, but exactly. Yeah. If they limped the Premier League...
I know what you mean.
Is it a disappointing season? Based on how they started? Other trophies? One Premier League title? Maybe not even the points record?
Well, we mentioned this the other day, didn't we? I mean, they have won the World Club Championship, and as it was pointed out to me on Twitter, also the Super Cup as well.
But you know what we mean.
I know what
people
you mean,
though. That's just pedantry,
I don't think there's a Liverpool fan alive that would not have taken a league title at the start of the season.
I think you're right, Jim. Else. Absolutely correct. I agree with you, but that's not what I've asked.
But the
in the context
is,
of how they started the season.
I know what you mean. I think it's a shame for them they went out of the FA Cup. Because I think if you can do a double there. But yes, if they go out the Champions League this early, but and they are defending the title as well.
Yeah.
I don't think it will dampen the party in Liverpool when they do get over the
line. No, it won't. No, definitely won't.
But in the grand scheme of things, because we're already talking about, are they better than the Manchester United treble winning side, or are they better than the Invincibles? According to Sol Campbell, that's not the case.
But
you're right, because if you're a great side, because Guardiola's Manchester City, when they won the 100 points and they were on for the quadruple and they won that and the League Cup.
They won domestic treble, didn't they?
That was the following season.
Yeah, yeah.
But that season when they won 100 points, absolutely murdered everybody in the league and only won the League Cup, I say only, there was an element of disappointment because there was talk about the quadruple. Mm. So I do take your point.
To me, if they don't win the Champions League this season, Liverpool, to me, they have to beat that points record to be remembered for the amazing team they've been.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's such a decline. Mm-hmm. By their own high standards, admittedly, people are going to look at them in years to come and go, they won the Premier League, great. They got loads of points, but they didn't get the record and they didn't win anything else other than the two I would say second tier trophies if I may be so bold as to say
World
that.
World Club Championship.
Just put it out.
World
there.
Champions, mate. Right? You've got to win the Champions League to get in it.
That could be seen as churlish, couldn't it? But I do think with the circumstances of Liverpool having waited so long, they will really want it to be something special and something like, you know, a one-off achievement. And I think you're right. The points tally will be all that's left to shoot for them, which they could well get.
They could do. Invincibles, baby. Say it. Yeah, you know it. Anyway,
don't make me horny on the podcast.
That's not what you usually say.
Yeah, I was going to say, usually demand it. Chelsea beat Everton 4-0. Better from Lampard's lads.
Yeah.
Wee Billy Gilmore was superb again.
Do you hear what Roy Keane said about him? He says, he was fantastic. I was sitting at home having a cup of tea and some chocolate and I didn't have the volume on as the game started. I literally got out of my seat and said, who is this kid in midfield? Now, I'm sort of disturbed that Roy Keane eats chocolate. Do you know what I mean? It seems very
indulgent.
Yeah, it seems exactly. It seems a bit nonsensical. I think sweetness in your mouth.
He'd be a Turkish delight man.
No, he wouldn't.
Bracken. I didn't like
95% cocoa, really bitter chocolate.
Yeah, there'd definitely be that. But I think he would have a bit of a curveball, or a tea. I think he'd be old school. With
Ritter Sport, white with hazelnuts.
If you go into Roy Keane's house and he's offering you a cup of tea, fair enough. That's unsettling you. if he pops open an old quality street box,
careful,
and it's got like an array of different biscuits in it, so just help yourself to one of them. Don't go near it.
Why?
Just weird.
Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah, it would be.
House. It's almost certainly a trap, isn't it?
Yeah, of some description, yeah.
What, if you take the wrong...
Yeah, he's judging you for what you're doing, you're going to do, you're going to choose.
Yeah. Take the custard cream.
No, oh, I think for me, they're wrapped...
yourself a man.
They're wrapped chocolate, like, so you can have fun-sized Mars bars.
Oh,
you know, fun-sized crunchies. Those kind of things.
And I like harder. A bounty, and he's not having that, is
no
he?
No way. Yeah. Don't go, than... you go to Roy King's house, you have a bounty, you're a madman.
Harder than that would be providing the chocolate.
Yeah, can you pick him up on the way?
Yeah.
He picks him up on the way.
What? No, well,
Yorkie,
if you're bringing something to Roy King's house, what do you pick?
Yorkie.
Yeah, Yorkies.
Yeah, maybe.
See, I think he's answered it. I think it's a Yorkie.
I don't know, but I think he might think it's a bit pretentious, isn't
Jim,
it?
Jim, you like a double-decker.
A Yorkie thinks it's a man.
Jim.
A Yorkie thinks it's a man's chocolate. It's just chocolate. What are you bringing that to me for?
Jim, you like a double-decker.
You're mistaking me with Luke. I do like a double-decker, but Luke prefers them.
Roy King would punch you in the face for that.
I mean, there's a lot of things about Roy King would punch me in the face
Thinking about it, Jim, if you turned up with a multi-pack of Yorkies, he's saying to you straight away, what are you compensating for there? A real man, comfortable in his own skin.
Yeah.
Also, to be fair though, what you're referring to is that I like a double decker from the freezer, which is actually very hard to eat on your teeth. Maybe he'd respect that. We just can't know.
I ain't having that.
You could win him back.
Can I just say that it's great for Billy Gilmore that he's been rewarded with that performance with a trip away with the Scottish under 21s.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So
got to start somewhere,
isn't it? Exactly. There was talk of him getting the older the full honours, but apparently not.
Well, you're being critical of that, aren't
you? No. Not at all. I think it's absolutely fine from doing plans.
So it was the 3 18-year-olds are on the pitch at various points in that match for Chelsea.
So yeah,
very enjoyable. Isn't
he? Just dishing out debuts all over the place, isn't he, Frank?
He's a dishy debut disher.
He is,
if you like. But if Billy Gilmore gets those performances out of Ross Barkley, then long may it continue.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny with Barkley. We know he's got talent, but he has been showing it of late, which is encouraging. But Chelsea were brilliant, weren't they? I mean, some of the goals they scored were delightful.
It's great to watch.
You love it when Giroud scores.
So do I.
Yeah.
The mobility of Olivier Giroud is a beautiful thing.
Yes.
Even at 31?
Do you know what I like about...
33? Bloody hell. Mm. When did that happen?
You know what I like? 2 years ago. Yeah. You know what I like is I like that... And I understand that it could be construed that Chelsea have had a lot of investment over the last 16, 17 years, and now that these young players they've got coming through are a result of that. And I kind of get that. But it's great that Frank Lampard will play these players with no fear. Yeah. Like, I mean... It's one thing to play Gilmore in a different type of game than to play him in a Premier League game. In a
big one against Everton. It's been going well.
They've been in great form, and Chelsea need to be winning games because they want to get up into the Champions League spots or stay up there, wherever they are. I can't remember. What are they, fifth? Fourth? Fourth.
Chelsea are fourth, yeah.
Yeah, they've been fourth since about October.
But
he's brave to do that. I mean, Barkley, who's been inconsistent, but he's got a lot of talent. Mason Mount, he's having... He's still at the very start of his career.
Lovely strike.
Billy Gilmore as a midfield three. It's great to see. And there are other managers who wouldn't do that.
No.
Who will make excuses and say, my players aren't ready. Lampard, because he's had to, and in some cases, he hasn't had to, like when he's played Abraham over Giroud until Abraham got injured. He's also brought two young kids off the bench as well in this game against Everton. The game's probably already won at that point. I can't quite remember when they came on, but he's bringing them in. He's doing the right, and that's part of the reason he's popular there. There are lots of other reasons as well. But if he was stinking the place out all season, the Chelsea fans wouldn't still be singing his name.
Yeah,
they'd be thinking, God, this is a bit awkward. So credit to him, I think.
He said after the game as well, didn't he? He's happy to be able to have these players involved, and he doesn't want to use it as an excuse. He wants to use it as a positive and just like I guess embolden them with confidence by showing that he has that confidence in them, and it's really really working. If you look at Tottenham, which it sounds like he was having a dig at Mourinho, wasn't he? With the event, like digging out and
lovely Dombele. Little one.
I certainly
like,
was.
Yeah, yeah. It's. He even said, didn't he, like, we don't want to use this as an excuse. And, like, the way Mourinho talks about young players, it's like, it's ridiculous. It's like he's had to, like, bring someone out of the stands and put them on. It's like they don't count as footballers sometimes in his mind.
I thought it was insane. Did we say it on Friday that Mourinho said that, the owners need to decide whether they want to target the Burnley game or the Leipzig game?
Mm.
It's like, what, do your fucking job.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's very much on you.
Yeah.
All they can do is tell you to do that.
Yeah.
He's got to be careful because come the summer, Levy might say, you know what, well, I could do with that. without this. I really could do without
what,
this.
What, if he does, he's an idiot, because he knew exactly what he was getting.
Well, indeed.
That won't happen. I think they'll get back to he'll back him in a big way in the summer, and then we'll see where the chips fall. And I think that, as I said last week, I think that's probably fair, but he just annoys me.
Yeah. The result, Chelsea 4 Everton 0, was the joint heaviest defeat of Carlo Ancelotti's managerial career. Mm. Which, of course, when he was Real Madrid manager, they lost 4-0 to Atletico Madrid.
They were surprisingly bad, weren't they? They were just passengers in it. Isn't there some mad stat that they haven't won at Stamford Bridge since 1994?
Right.
I don't know, Jim, is there?
They said it on Match of the Day.
Okay, that'll do.
I think there is.
Isn't there some kind of stat I heard last night, Les?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's all cool off and have a quick break.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, or Football Ramble Daily, everybody. And now it's that time for emails with PDD.
You email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now PDD's reading it out. Well done.
On a theme about Jordan Pickford. Obviously, he was all right, I guess, at the weekend, even though he's shipped full, but certainly the week before he was having a stinking old time. Evening, gents. Don't know your recording schedule, so I may have just missed the cut-off for the recording of this week's Ramble. I thought I'd get in contact either way to offer my opinion on the much-discussed and maligned Jordan Pickford. I've tried to keep it concise. You really haven't, mate. The short answer is, he's a good keeper, but he's a shadow of the one he once was, and it's largely to do with his public perception in this emailer's subject. What I liked about this is that the person who sent it, and I'll give the name in a second, they have a dog called Gwen Göran Eriksson.
Lovely, lovely.
Very, very enjoyable. Basically, first season, incredible. He's hands down the best keeper I've seen in Everton shirt in decades, but the England place and then the incredibly unjustified and inaccurate scrutiny and criticism that came with it kind of became a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because he was a modern keeper who was comfortable with the ball at his feet and had good distribution, a lot of the more old-fashioned journalists immediately labelled him as a liability and error-prone, despite having no evidence to support it. And unfortunately, over time, it has slowly but surely become reality. He's obviously a bit of a character, but unlike someone like Vardy, he doesn't thrive on criticism, but he rather gets his own head and becomes fixated on proving to people that he is good enough. But there is few things worse than an overthinking, anxious goalkeeper. Whichever aspect of his game is criticised that week will become more and more problematic in the following games until we reach a day wherein he struggles with the basics and he's lost the faith of a large portion of the fan base. So it goes on, but it's a beautifully written email. Maybe I'll stick it online somehow. But thank you for that. Hello to Richard Chesser, Hank Fire Marcus. I'm just going to give you the name of the person. It was Alex Bartling. Thank you, Alex, for that.
Nice one.
We got an email from Richard Chesser. Morning, gents. Well, I'm not quite enough of a pervert to dive into writing ramble/fiction myself. This past show did remind me of Luke's online diary that I ran into recently. Here are a few entries I thought you might enjoy. The diary of Luke Aaron Moore, 70th of December 2019.
Here we go.
A moment after midnight, Marcus closes the shutter of our Christmas market kiosk.
Oh, crap.
His lips are plum-coloured from our mulled wine, but his eyes shine like the garlands hung around us, now heavy with snow. He takes my mitten in his mitten. My elf, he whispers, as he wraps his hairy arms around my waist and leads me to his truck. I drive, and Marcus sings, oh come Emmanuel to me,
hang on.
His breath visible in the night air, a tipsy angel.
I wrap my arms around him and then take him to the truck. I wouldn't really. You don't.
Also, I'm the drinker and the singer among us.
Yeah.
Not Marcus.
28th of February 2020.
On the other hand, how is this happening to me?
28th of February 2020. Have I changed since we met? Marcus wants to know. My hand goes to his face, feeling the soft pile of his beard and the warmth that never leaves his cheeks.
Don't touch faces at the moment.
These thousands of days have produced more wrinkles from smiles than tears, but both are represented, and this winter has left a frost of grey in his hair that will never thaw.
Why are you reading this out?
He's more perfect to me today than he's ever been. Grow old with me, I beg him.
We have grown old together already. It's fucking happened. Happened last 12 years.
The final entry.
All right.
5th of March 2020. Marcus is stripping blackberry vines of their thorns, ready to begin a new hand-woven basket. He's tucked a lovely early spring flower behind his ear, and his eyes are full of promised sunshine. This is all a man wants, he says, sniffing the flower. I can only agree. Hope that was good for you boys as it was for me. Cheers, Jake from Japan.
Jake, well, I think you need to assess some of your life decisions right in that.
Look, I am.
Are you chumescent?
I'm priapic.
Do you know Jake?
No, but I'm enjoying how much Jake has
clearly
ruffled your erotic feathers.
It's Jake from Japan. It's Jake from Japan. You're pseudonym, Tom from Finland.
Yeah.
Finally, for now, Jonathan Neyman from Berlin. Could be another nom de plume. Hello, lads. Long time emailer.
Same story again, but in Bergheim this time.
Long time emailer. First time listener here. So switching to watch the game, the commentator talks about Phil Foden starting the match while the camera is showing young Phil rearranging his Foden. Seriously, there was some incisive pulling and replacing going on. And the cherry on top when, at that moment, the commentator says, Foden is reaching out at this moment for more starts. Happy Women's Day.
What?
Blimey. Yeah. Well, that's a long time emailer, first time listener, according to Pete.
Hopefully, though. According to the email, that's how he wrote it.
Naughty.
Yeah. And if you want to get to the show, it is show at footballrambledaily.com.
There it is.
Thank you very much for that, Pete. It's time for a Betway 4 to score update. On Friday's show, Jim chose Nicola Pepe for the Arsenal West Ham game. That finished 1-0, thanks to.
Bang wrong.
Alexandre Lacazette. Pete, you had Burnley v Spurs. Although Burnley did score first, it wasn't Jay Rodriguez. No. Although, actually, it nearly was. It was just followed up by Chris Wood.
Nearly.
I had Dominic Calvert-Lewin in Chelsea v Everton.
The DCL.
Which, again, was a no, because they didn't score any goals. And Marcus, you had Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah, he did. Well,
Martial
should have squared one to him, which he would have put away.
So that's on him, Martial, not on us.
Indeed. Yeah. I mean, he just gets to the point where we go, he should have got the first one. Yeah, not very good.
I mean, there's only so much we can do for these guys.
Yeah.
And they keep letting us down.
Well, we're trying to do our bit for charity. Yeah. But there's another chance to play on the previous show this week on Friday, so stick around for that. Go to betway.com/4 to score for more information. It is, of course, free to play. You must be over the age of 18.
In the words of Tom.
Oh, sorry, Marcus, carry on. I was going to say I want to do a Patreon update.
I was going to say, in the words of Tom Jones,
I shouldn't have let you. listen, you are signing, you lovely, lovely listeners, you're signing up in your dozens.
Beautiful buggers.
Yeah, for the Patreon. It's patreon.com/footballrambledaily. You can pay us an amount of money every month to be decided by you. There's loads of different options in there. And of course, for the different level of donation, you get different content.
Different level of nudeness.
No.
Oh.
We ruled that out in the first meeting.
Did we? Okay.
But
if you want to do that in private, that's up to you, but do keep it that way.
All right. The first episode of Ramble On, which is outtakes, best ofs, lots of different bits and pieces, is out now. It came out yesterday. That's there for Patreon subscribers. Completely unheard anywhere else for the most part. The first episode of The Mailbag with two on the continent pundits. It was Nicky Bandini and Andy this week, Marcus,
that was right,
it?
Absolutely.
Presented by...
this week, sorry. Yeah,
presented by Marcus. That's there to be listened to as well. You won't hear it anywhere else, and you won't hear it unless you're a Patreon subscriber. You get access to the Discord as well, and there'll be other bits and pieces coming along sooner or later, I'm sure. Patreon.com/ Football Ramble Daily to join in the fun.
Yeah. Speaking of fun, we go to Southampton 0, Newcastle United 1. Another clean sheet for Brucey's boys.
AKA,
oh my
goodness. What contortions can Pete do this week?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, it was Newcastle's first league goal in 439 minutes.
Well, I'll concentrate on that one.
Fair enough.
There's your response, Luke.
And our very own Pete Donaldson was down there reporting on the match.
Oh, it was wild. The VAR, it was just VAR happening, like left, right and centre.
Did you enjoy
brilliant.
It?
The ref, to his credit, it could have spilled into absolute nonsense, but with the red card, just walked calmly over to his little screen, had a look, sent the player off. Why isn't he doing that for every decision? That was a very easy decision to make. Yeah, still, but same with the handball. He just got it in his ear. He could have just gone over and looked at the monitor, I think.
Pete, what did you make of the historic, seafaring, beautiful town, or city, I suppose, of Southampton?
Well, you can hear further opinions on the looking picture, but I am very much of the opinion that I didn't realise it was that much of a shithole. Like,
how dare you?
It's
take the heat off
nice
me
town.
For a week.
Look, it's not a nice... Look, Southamptoners, I'm sure you're all lovely, and you are all lovely, but just the town, man. No.
Really?
Don't like it. Saw a lot of dead wasps.
Is it?
I don't know why. There's a lot of shot windows, a lot of dead wasps in it. That's all I'm saying.
Have you been to Portsmouth?
I've been to Portsmouth then. Look, I'll give Portsmouth credit where it's due. I prefer Portsmouth. Maybe I've just been to Portsmouth more than Southampton. Maybe it's just the walk from the train station to the actual.
You went to the Isle of Wight, didn't you? That's what you
went to. I went to the Isle of Wight.
Well, we can all agree on that.
Yeah. Hello, the 70s.
But no, it was really exciting first half. But it did get to the point where you're like, oh, Newcastle don't create any chances, and it was really getting to the point where I was like, Newcastle might come away with playing most of the match against 10 men and being unable to break them down.
Well, they pounced, Sam Maximan pounced beautifully on a mistake. Lovely finish. But of course, Pompey boy Matt Ritchie missed a penalty.
Yeah, he was getting dogs.
Alex McCarthy was superb.
Yeah, that was a great save in particular.
The triple save. I think it was a triple save. Double save and then one into the side.
I wanted to give a triple save.
But Newcastle looked very disjointed, and they didn't really know their positions. But once ASM put that ball away, oh, thank Christ for that, I thought.
Yeah. It'd be nice to just see him start scoring a bit more regularly. Obviously, Almiron's like, open the floodgates a little bit. The floodgates are ajar.
Floodgates? Yeah, first goal for 439 minutes.
The floodgates are ajar with Almiron. He's scoring goals into cups, isn't he?
It's the shittest flood ever.
Yeah. Which, in a way, is a good flood.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you want.
Yeah.
Little dribble. It's like when the...
it's not a flood, though, then,
on the canal, when they leave the gates slightly
open. Yeah, there's like a little bit of a gush. I think it's a situation where a £40 million so-called striker it's too big to fail as a project, certainly at Newcastle. So they've had to put Joelinton in, but I think Bruce has got the nod from a little higher up that he's allowed to put him on the bench. So he started on the bench, he came on, provided a little bit in height, but...
Pete, are you suggesting that we should take Joelinton into public ownership?
What do you mean, privatise
him? He's too big to fail.
Too big to fail, yeah. He's like Northern Rock. Yeah. Obviously,
we can have to nationalise Joelinton.
Yeah. I'd like to defer to.
Do the public of the UK now technically all own a small amount of Joelinton?
Yeah, and they'll do with him what they want. Why does everyone get their knickers in a twist? The decisions are right. That's Steve Bruce there, which I enjoyed.
The decisions are right. I love that.
My favourite example of the worst take I've seen on VAR this week came from David Moyes, who said that the ferryman David Moyes, was that because there were the referee was having a good game and there were two very good linesmen in the game against Arsenal, it shouldn't have even gone to VAR. We should just trust them. It was onside, David.
That's the best quote since Neil Warnock said that he didn't endanger the life of the player, so it shouldn't be a red card.
Amazing. Anyway, though, back to... Back to Newcastle. So Newcastle are now 4 points better off than they were at this point last season. So obviously I'm not going to do the cheap thing of saying that Bruce is better than Rafa Benitez, because obviously he's not. But
how they get on the cup? To say this,
very well. To be fair, very well.
You say he's not better, but I mean,
you keep on bringing up the cup, but I mean they've played like Oxford United,
West Brom away,
and they had replays in both of those matches as well. Yeah.
They've gone out with worse, though, haven't they? To be fair, in the past.
Do you think they should be chucked out of the cup then, because they've not
concentrated on the league?
Yeah.
But what I was going to say was, you know, given that you lost some of the best players you had last season, and that Mike Ashley's still stuck around, and he's done his,
or they refuse to pay £15 million for Solomon Rondon.
Absolutely, like
proven goal scorer.
This could be a lot worse, couldn't it?
It could be a lot worse. Okay, it could be like the defensively. This has papered over a lot of cracks. They're just not creating enough chances. They do look disjointed. They do look messy. But this new formation has provided somewhat of a threat to teams who don't provide a lot of pressure onto Newcastle. But if that sending off hadn't happened, I feared for what that match would have turned out like.
Yeah.
A goalless draw, probably.
I mean, it's not despite Hasan Hüttl's best attempts, Southampton at home, it's not a fortress.
No, it really isn't a fortress. It's actually quite...
What's the opposite to a fortress? A sandcastle.
Yeah.
Mm.
At Sandcastle, and every week the wave comes and washes it away.
Yeah. From the tiniest floodgate.
But it shows you...
it's a tiny sandcastle, and like every so often, one drop of water...
knocks it all down.
Yeah, smashes it.
A friend of mine supports Southampton, and he always describes the badge as a tree by a lovely river, which I like, but it doesn't really inspire fear, does it?
No.
It does not. Well, they, despite all that, and despite losing four in their last five, I think it is, or five in six in all competitions for Southampton, they're still 7 points above the relegation zone.
It's mad, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That run...
But you know when people say it's a bit of a weird Premier League season, I said it myself on this show, and people would go further than that and say it's a poor Premier League season. Mm. That's, you know, they're entitled to their opinion. Like, can it really be like the situation where no one is picking up points? Because every time you kind of focus on one team, it's like, oh yeah, but they're still doing fine.
I think when they
it's like the Premier League calculator broken.
Yeah, but it must be.
It just means like you can...
There's a lot of missing points somewhere, like some Nazi goal buried somewhere.
But Newcastle's a really good case in point, because like they've scored 25 goals, and the only other team to score 25 goals is Norwich, and they're bottom.
Yeah,
like, it's just not a it's not a league for anyone who wants to achieve something. Just keep it tight and don't lose so many matches, you know, 3 or 4-0, and you'd be all right.
Well, I mean, you mentioned Norwich; they're obviously beaten by Sheffield United. Sheffield United have just done that, haven't they? They've hardly scored. It's that season Milan won the title with scoring 36 goals.
Yes, compare it to
games.
That.
That's what this is. They are channeling the spirit of that Capello Milan side of Sheffield United.
Let's up for grabs.
It's very impressive. I mean, the funny thing is that, yes, they beat Norwich 1-0. A great goal from Billy Sharp. Dude, that's a striker's goal.
I love seeing Billy Sharp.
It's a fantastic goal. And now they're dreaming of European football for the first time in their club's history next season. But yet they sort of, with Dean Henderson in goal, scrambling that ball away. Mm. Fantastic
goalkeeping.
Absolutely superb.
Yeah. Wilder was really funny after the game, though, when it was put to him about that. He's like, yeah, he's only made, like, what, three saves in the whole game? That's what he's there for.
Yeah.
I love the sort of, you know, just grumpiness of it.
Indeed. But that's the thing. With Sheffield United, you know, they're sort of hanging on to get a home win against Norwich, and yet they're still challenging for the European position.
Yeah.
So that's, but it doesn't look out of place. You know, if it was, say, I don't know, Wolves or... even Manchester United at the moment, one or two of the other sides, Spurs, you know, if they're scrambling at home, it doesn't. I suppose Wolves failed to beat Brighton. But what I'm saying is, it's just strange that Sheffield United, not really scoring that much, scraping in terms of the chance at the end there, a 1-0 home win against Norwich, and yet they could be in the Europa League next season with the English side.
I like that they're embracing it as well. There's no, like, false modesty from them. They all seem really excited about the prospect.
They're still in the FA Cup, Sheffield United.
They are.
And they've got a home draw, and that's against Arsenal, but they've got a home draw.
Yeah, but who have they beaten, though, on the way to that quarter final?
Is it Oxford United?
It seems unlikely.
They don't play each other more than once.
Okay, cool.
It's a round robin.
Yeah. Robin's not playing.
No.
But so they're still in the Cup as well, and they've got some tricky games in their running, but it's not the world's worst run in Sheffield United. It's not a situation where they've in the second half of the season, they've not played any good teams yet. Mm-hmm. It's kind of an average run-in. They're 5 points off fourth. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
And you've said it.
Did you guys see that there was a guy, a Wolves fan, he's 100 years old.
Okay.
And he was presented by a cake in his... He was presented a cake.
Alarm a cake.
Yeah. I think he might live in a care home or something. It might have been in a cafe, I can't remember. But he was presented with a cake to be 100 years old. But he was presented it by Nuno.
Nice.
But he didn't realise it was Nuno. He just thought it was... No, he did. Let me tell the story.
Okay.
Right? I'm taking you on a roller coaster here, aren't I?
Yeah.
He's presented a cake and he doesn't look up. He sees the cake, he's pleased, and he shakes hands with someone who is Nuno. Yeah. He doesn't know it's him.
He's thinking, I'm just happy with the cake.
Yeah, he's loving it. He's loving it. I've made a ton. Yeah. I've got a cake. Great day. And then he looks up and he sees Nuno and he's so pleased. It's the most heartwarming video. It's brilliant. It's worth checking out. I've retweeted it on my Twitter. It's at Luke Aaron Moore on Twitter.
Look at his face.
And he gives him a big thigh slap at the end. He's so pleased to see him. That was what warmed my cockles this
Nuno's
week.
Nuno's quite a avuncular, isn't he?
Yeah. I'd like to hang out with Nuno.
Would you?
He would relax me right out.
You've ruined that. That was a heartwarming story. You've taken into the gutter again.
This sounds like more Slash Fiction.
Pete is jealous that... Was it Jake?
Jake from Japan, wasn't
Jake,
it?
Jake in Japan.
Yeah.
Never wrote anything about you. You're trying to incept an idea of you
and you want to be relaxed right out.
I'd be in the corner watching, wouldn't I? You know.
Thank goodness.
What would you be wearing?
I don't know. I'm just pleased he just said watch.
Yeah, what will you be wearing?
Moth suit, but with a hole cut out of it.
See?
front or back?
but just one singular hole.
Oh, a gooch hole.
You know what I mean?
The gooch hole. Yeah. You know what I mean?
This is when the floodgates open.
Yeah.
This is what that expression is.
All over the floor.
Don't get this in any other football show.
No.
Probably a reason for that.
Jim, why don't you
They're mostly talking about football.
Jim, why don't you talk us through the last day of the Argentinian league season?
God.
Go on.
Oh. So, Carlos... Carlos Tevez.
He won it! He won it! Yeah. Go on, Carlos!
He kissed Diego Maradona,
beautiful,
who was the manager of the opposing Gimnasia.
On the mouth
for luck, and then he scored, and he said, oh, I believe in luck, because I'm a big baby.
Yeah.
I'm a big, annoying baby.
I mean, to be honest, if you're kissing Diego Maradona on the lips, that's performance enhancing, isn't it? Yeah. Those numb lips.
He went straight over there, thought, I'm having a bit of that. He said, I knew I had to kiss Diego. Yeah, I was lucky.
I'm a superstitious idiot.
I was lucky that way. Sometimes you have to look for luck.
I loved seeing him being... I mean, whatever you think about Carlos Tevez, and Jim's opinions are well documented.
Mm.
He's playing for a club that he absolutely loves.
The third time.
He was loving it. He's absolutely loving
it. He scored about 18 minutes from time, and River drew their game. So Boca leapfrogged them and won the league on the last day, which, you know, is a lovely old job.
Scenes. That is absolutely.
It is really funny, especially with Diego Maradona being there. And obviously he's feuding with Riquelme. So like, even that's not like perfect, is it?
I wonder, I'm not going to cast any aspersions on anyone's character. But we know about
for the first time.
But we know about
in
Diego,
our run of shows.
We know about Diego's history.
This is going to come on in a dig with Pete Donaldson.
No, it's not. And we know, that Diego's team are playing against Boca, a game that Boca needs to win. I'm just saying, think about the team talk. That's all I'm saying.
Well, they only lost 1-0. Is would be
make it look like it's.
would be.
Luke, you are straying into. I don't care. It's fine. Yeah, it's...
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I think
if you were
going to
do that, you'd make it 1-0.
We only lost 1-0, Your Honour.
Exactly.
How dare you?
Yeah, but the thing is, though, River drew their game.
Yeah.
Presumably, if they'd have won their game, they'd have been okay.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, you say presumably, because on this show, we haven't checked.
No, they're because Boca leapfrogged them.
Yeah.
So, it's poor from River. You've got to say it's poor.
It is poor.
He's very poor. Oh, dear. Anyway, there we are.
They had a river that needed the flood.
But there we are, ladies and gentlemen. We've finished, thank goodness, the Football Ramble or Football Ramble Daily episode.
We got there in the end, didn't we?
Jules and Andy are back tomorrow for some scintillating red-hot football chat for your ears. So do get them around that. And until then, au revoir. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Pete Donaldson.
For more content, go to patreon.com/footballrambledaily.
Indeed. And thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
See you soon, everybody.
This was a Stakhanov production.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.